Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's episode number 464 of the MailRite Show. Today, we're going to do branding 101 for real estate agents for 2025. We're starting off with the basics. Okay, so discovering audiences, developing a message. That's what we're going to cover today. But before we get going, in case you have are new or newish to this podcast, we want to make sure that you hear our name so many times that you get sick of hearing them. So with no further ado, John, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to anybody that may be new to the show or just not, you know, within the first few times of listening to the show.
Thanks, Rob. I'm Jonathan Denwood. I'm the joint founder of mail-write.com, MailRite, and we're a CRM lead generative website platform aimed at real estate agents. Go and have a look and book a consultancy with me. Back over to you, Rob.
All right. My name is Robert Newman. I'm the founder of Inbound REM. That's the word inbound, R-E-M, at rabbitedwardmichael.com. Check me out if you are impressed with all this knowledge I'm about ready to lay on you with my partner. All right, let's get into it. So who, ladies and gentlemen, is your target audience and how do you figure that out? John, do you want to start us off or do you want me to start us off?
No, you go off. Go on. You have a go at it.
Okay. With real estate agents, it's a very, very good idea to do a little bit of city, state, and local research on who lives in the area that you are trying to serve. So if you can't figure out who your target audience is, if you don't automatically know that it's older immigrants or older Asians or anything in that category, what you'll do is you'll go to either the state or local registrar's office, which is usually in your city buildings, and you will ask them for what publicly available city data can you take a look at. Sometimes they have books, sometimes they have demographic stuff. And failing that, because it's the second best source, usually the city is actually the best place to grab data for who actually lives there. Second best source would be a search like this, Van Nuys demographic. I live in Van Nuys, California. And then it's Hispanic 63%, white 21%, Asian 8%, and two other races. Okay, so then I can also do demographic and age. All right, and then now I'm going to get 18 to 17-year-old is 99.5%, 22 to 34 is 24%, 75 years or older, 3.2%. So now you know age, gender, and basic demographic. Now, here's the last piece of advice that I have. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already, as part of your burgeoning career and figuring out what your brand is, you haven't figured out a way to go out and meet the people that you intend to sell to or serve, that is probably the biggest mistake I see new salespeople make. Go to school meetings, PTA meetings, just as long as they're in the city and the location you're interested in servicing, and meet people, talk to them. Say, what are you ever going to buy a house? Did you buy a house? What are your primary concerns? Get to know your audience and get to know what they're thinking. That is a very, very good way to understand what your first set of objections and your first set of concerns are going to be. All right, that's it. Who's your target audience? John, you go.
Yeah, I agree with everything outlined. I think also, if you look at Northern Nevada, which is Reno, Lake Tahoe, Truckee, a lot of the people that you're going to be selling or dealing with are out of state. You know, Northern Nevada really relies on California to Northern Nevada and Southern Nevada, Las Vegas. It really depends on out of state people. So it's really going to be the type of people that are attracted to the various different areas of Nevada that you've got to really understand their wants, needs, and you've got to really pitch yourself to what these possible clients require. Or, you know, the type, and really understand why people sell, upgrade, or move out of the state. Why people move, and it's really understanding and finding a niche, something that's a little bit, stands you out a little bit, you know, in a crowded market, basically. But it doesn't have to be something enormous. It just needs something which your target audience actually cares about.
Copy you. So we're going to move on to number two, which I've always, ever since I've read books about branding, have struggled with the generality of this statement. It's person or lifestyle brand. Like, are you a lifestyle brand? Do you surf? Do you ski? You know, stuff like that as a realtor. And person is like, what kind of human are you? Like, are you really religious? Do you have some tried and true philosophies that you absolutely live your life by and run your business by? You know, what kind of person, lifestyle, brand, blah, blah, blah. I have put out a video called The Death of Real Estate Branding, because I think that most branding is informational, and informational ends up being very specific to the human being imparting the information. Over the years that John and I have done the show, we've discovered that he's dyslexic, a seasoned entrepreneur, and I have so much data on myself out there, it's not even worth trying to shake a stick at. I've got stuff about my personal life that most people wouldn't put online, and I've got hundreds of clients from having put myself out there, because the people that would normally just treat me like another real estate marketer connected deeply into certain parts of my message that have nothing to do with what I do for a living, like the fact that I'm sober, as an example. And I think that is an informational brand that goes beyond personal lifestyle, personally. I don't think that one or the other really apply. I think it's just a combination of everything. And I do strongly recommend that if you feel comfortable with it, that you put yourself out there, that you let people know who you are, because it will become part of your brand. You can also have a little fun with it. Take your dog with you everywhere. I have two of my clients that make over $1 million a year in real estate. They have become synonymous. Their branding is synonymous with their two little dogs that they take everywhere, including real estate appointments. So that's...
Did they do the negotiation for the agent?
I'm sorry?
Do the dogs do the negotiation for the agent?
No, but apparently they provide great distraction and comfort.
All right, there you go.
And they're not alone. Betsy Graham tells a story about how relating to a client dog got her a $23 million sale. So it's not even by themselves. All right, John, what's your version of personal or lifestyle brand?
I think the other part of this with the research I did is... a few of the people I was watching and reading, they were saying, you know, you got to make... Some put the argument that they thought it was a mistake that they went with a personal brand because they turned into a team and they didn't want so much to be the public face of the brand. And they felt that was a mistake. I see where they're coming from, but I don't see it as black and white. I think you can still be the public face of a regional local brand, but I think you've remarked that you've struggled with this a little bit because sometimes you feel that you have to be available a little bit more than you would hope to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you are the public face of your brand, so people want to talk to you. So it can be a problem, can't it? I don't know if you've got any reflections about how you would have dealt with that a bit better or if it is a problem at all.
I mean, I've always... First of all, it is a challenge that I've mentioned that is true. It is you're accurate from my perception to your statement. And at times it's very uncomfortable for me. And there's all sorts of boundaries. Like John, I just indicated when the podcast started how tired I am. Between the time we started the podcast and this very second, I closed my calendar off yesterday. Somebody booked another call with me, something to talk about, oddly enough, more like transitioning their business. So do I have to be more forward facing than I would like? Yes, I do. But when I started this business, I had, I think $15,000. And I don't remember exactly anymore. So that number, I may have said something different in different places. And I had no advertising budget, none, zero. And so the way I intended to get my clients was blog on ActiveRain and blog on a website. And I had some existing clients that were basically keeping the lights on. It was just a few thousand dollars a month was all I was making, though. I mean, we're talking just a very small handful of clients. And so I decided in that moment that I could advertise or I could put myself out there. And I put myself out there and it was successful, John. I crossed the bridge between complete unknown and I have a brand. And I got a lot of other people to hire me, like Wailopo and other companies like that. And I did it all with the power of video. So it was successful. 9 years into it now and 200 clients, do I regret my decision? No, because I don't think I'd be here today without it. Do I wish for certain things that they might be different? Yes, I do. Like I do wish that I had a little more of my time and a little more anonymity. But in order to get that on another business I build, I need millions and millions of dollars like Elon Musk or somebody else has. It's like, give me $10 million and ask me if I do it the same way. Hell no, John. No way. I would not be the public face of anything. I'd let other people do it. I'd hire a CEO, whatever it was. I would not do that again. But do I have any problems with how I bootstrap the business? Zero. I'm super grateful it worked at all because it was a gamble. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, certainly does.
What are your core values? I love this one. You know I love this one. Do you want to go first or you want me to?
Well, I'll put a quick pennies in. I think a lot of real estate advertising for, obviously, this is a difficult one because you don't really want to rub people really up the wrong way. So you can take this to the extreme. But on the other hand, a lot of real estate advertising, promotion is very bland, very unmemorable. And I think you've got to identify some core values that's relevant to your target audience that you actually believe in. And you need to really talk about those and promote those quite effectively.
And, you know, core values is one of those, I use core values all the time in my marketing because real estate, holy cow, there is not a week that goes by that I don't have just nightmare stories told to me by agents. Like if an agent is calling me, they tend to be a little bit driven and a little bit disciplined. And the nutty thing is that I'd say from what I hear and everything I've heard on the phone for 9 straight years, I feel like 70% of the profession are not those things. They're not disciplined. They're not driven. They don't treat their business like a business. I was just on the phone literally within the last like day of taking calls, John, and an agent was telling me how they made a showing appointment with a seller's agent. They were supposed to meet the seller at the client's house. There was no lockbox on the door. They got into a car with a buyer from out of town, drove to the house on a Saturday. No agent. Called the agent. No response. Texted the agent. No response. 100% no-show for a viable client from out of town. I was just like, you got to be kidding me. Any other profession, you know, show somebody with potentially with money in their pocket. I mean, man, I can't fathom, John. None of the sales careers I've been in, if I started no showing clients, are you joking me? I would have been fired so fast. It's not even funny. So core values. What are your core values? Like, and I'm so sorry, John, but it's got to be more than fucking money. It's just got to be. You've got to have core values like I don't flake. I try hard. I'm late all the time, but I try hard not to flake on you, like really hard. I move shit around in my calendar not to flake on this show, not because of anything related to a business transaction or finances, but because I have given you my word that I will be here at 2 o'clock. And so I try to be here at 2 o'clock.
And like, you have kept to your commitment rock solid. You hardly have ever missed anything. And I gather from that when you do commit to something, you're totally focused on it because you've proven that.
And that is the idea behind core values, ladies and gentlemen. What is it that you value, which will allow people to understand what you expect? I value people. I value opinions. My reviews are stellar. I treat everybody the same. Well, not 100% the same. Clients get certain allotments of both time and energy that other people don't. But for the most part, I treat people basically the same, certainly with the same set of core values. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how to create a unique offer, what is a unique offer, being consistent. And we're going to wrap up with some final thoughts about brand that John and I are going to share through the lens of two entrepreneurs who've done brands. Both of us consulted with lots and lots of real estate agents. So we're going to come back and we're going to share those thoughts with you. Stay tuned.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRight. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-right.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 464 of the MailRight Show. Today, we're talking about branding, and we're sticking with branding 101. And we're talking about it specifically for the year 2025. This is not going to be an evergreen piece of content. We're going to talk about branding from the perspective of today's agent. So leading back in, I'm going to toss this first question coming back from the break to John. John, how would you go about crafting, or how would you go about advising to craft a unique offer?
Well, it's not easy in a very competitive, congested market. But on the other hand, it doesn't have to be something enormous. It is quite linked to knowing your target audience, isn't it? Number one. And some of the other points that we discussed in the first half of the show. So if you understand your target audience and you understand and you dived in to the uniqueness of what those particular segment the market requires, you're probably going to then be able to identify an element that could be part of your unique offer. So it's not jet science, is it? But on the other hand, with my other business, I've kind of done it because we focus on membership learning management systems and community-focused website using the WordPress platform. But on the other hand, that entails quite a lot of subsets. So there's kind of associations, non-profits, colleges that are using learning management systems. And then you've got the whole individual entrepreneur market where it's individuals or a few people trying to build actual business in the e-learning space. So it encapsulates quite a few subsets, but I pitched it at that because it's very difficult to identify which market I should have. So it's kind of worked out for me. So, and that's what you really got to think about when you're a real estate agent, isn't it?
And yeah, and you know what? It's interesting because it's funny. I ask this unique selling proposition question to agents all the time. What unique selling proposition? You know, oh, I'm going to negotiate. I'm a really good negotiator. Well, I do a list of services. Like I say, what list of services do real estate agents provide? John, would you take care to take a crack at what the basic list is from the web? How many items do you think are on the list? 10, 20, 30?
10?
Just 20, just right out of the gate. Okay. So home inspection, negotiating offers, negotiating with buyers on your behalf, marketing and advertising, showing properties, providing advice, education, educating people, communicating. There's two different sides of real estate. There's listing and buying agents. This thing says listing agent specific stuff and has other things. So I open up the listing agent specific thing and I immediately find a blog post from Balsmara Realty that says 184 things that real estate agents do. 184 things. Okay. And I have just done a quick look at that list. It's legit. All right. So it, when you're saying unique selling proposition, and there are people out there that are blogging that can figure out 184 different things that an agent does in the buying and selling process, please don't tell me that there's nothing in that 184 list that you can't do better than other people. If you can't look at a list of things and go, I'm pretty good at that. Like John and I have, John's pretty good at WordPress. He has experience in it. I am pretty good at marketing. I have experience in it. I can look at a list and go, I'm probably better than other people in this one little category. It's not arrogance. It's just, do you think you work at it harder than other people? If the answer is yes, you're probably better. And it drives me nuts, John, that I can usually not get an agent who's supposed to be a salesperson to admit that they might be better out of one out of like a couple hundred things. It's like, really? So figure out what your unique offer should reflect on your values, your skills, who you want to serve. What's your unique offer to that person? You know, in Beverly Hills right now, there's this dearth, this proliferation of concierge agents. I will say this, of the concierge agents that I know, the three that are wildly successful, 20, 30 years careers in real estate, all of them, they're really never off. You know, they don't take time off. Not really, because when they have a high enough value client come into town, since they're only dealing with three or four transactions a year, max, they drop everything. And so they're out all weekend. They're taking people to parties. They're going to movie premieres, you know, selling somebody on the lifestyle and the experience of buying a property at the same time. But barring that, like when it comes to what your unique offer is, and even that is not unique, any of the top four agents can do that with you. They all have that ability. So you start to go, well, what is the exception above and beyond that? Well, I'll tell you what, one of the three above, head and shoulders above the others, has a better support team around them. And I'm not going to say which. I'm just going to say they have four qualified people to help with the management of a very challenging client. And they're all really good, world-class in their own way. So one could say the support system was their unique sales offer. And I think that they should. That would be the unique proposition. I'm willing to give out some of the work to some of my subordinates because some of these agents are not. So that would be something I would look at in actually Beverly Hills. Now this is a favorite subject and one that John is a master at. I'm going to play you up and then I'm going to hand it off to you. I've dealt with a lot of people over time and I think we should always look at each other and go, this is our honest opinion. Well, I'll tell you one thing about John Denwood. He is one of the most consistent marketing partners I've ever had. He is consistent. He walks his talk. He also shows up. He also keeps pushing forward with his businesses. He consistently does not one podcast, but many. I mean, take everything else away and say, is this person consistent and reliable? I'm going to say 100% in my experience so far, yes. No doubt about it. So consistency is a really great thing to have as part of your brand. Consistency, just one, John, a testimonial for me that doesn't give out many, and I've given out a few for John over the years. It's important that you deliver that which you want. You show up when people want you. Like if you say you're going to show up, show up. That's my opinion about consistency. It's just you have to, I also block hours out of my calendar, John, and I'm religious about not letting anybody get in them because I would go insane if I didn't do that. That's how I manage consistency. So in the time that I have allotted, yes, I'm gonna show up unless I'm in the hospital. What is your views on number five?
Well, it is difficult in the real estate industry, especially when you're starting out and you haven't got the money to hire a team or have a good assistant. You've got a lot of balls and you've got to be available, you know, fundamentally, you've got to be available 7 days a week, you know. But if you can't manage to be consistent as a real estate agent, I think you're going to have a hard job. And a lot of people, it has a reputation, and you pointed out to earlier on in this episode, somebody that wasn't very consistent, they didn't turn up and they ghosted a possible sale. You know, consistent, you know, of all the things we've talked about, if you want to be successful as a real estate agent, I think you've got to be pretty consistent.
Yeah. And I think that part of the challenge, John, is the million-dollar mindset kind of idea, which is what I'm seeing is that right now, finally, after many years, by the way, we're watching home prices go, sales are down. We've got a 9.0 inventory availability inside the real estate market, which is higher than it's been in a long ass time. We've got all these factors that are like, we have inventory. It's just priced out of people's price range right now. And so agents are still having to work twice as hard for half as much. And that's where the million-dollar mindset comes in. Lots and lots of agents are just going, nah, I'm not going to work that hard. And they're sitting on the income that they've earned over the last few years in what has absolutely been a gold market. Like, they've made a lot more money than they could or they should. When they can make half as much and work harder, are they going to do it? And the answer is a lot of real estate agents won't. And the real pros will, because they know that while they're working harder, they're also making market share that other people won't make. We're going to close out the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to have John share his final thoughts, or I'm going to ask John to share his final thoughts. And I'm going to think through mine, because I'm not 100% sure how I want to close this episode down. So what are your final thoughts about branding?
Well, it's a kind of mirage kind of subject, isn't it? Building a brand. But I think we're given a good outline here and put some thoughts in people's minds, because I think a lot of agents really fell on this, and it's understandable because it's vague. But if you can plan some strategy, and it doesn't have to be something complicated, but you've got to use the steps that we've outlined in this episode and then put a bit of thought into it and then stick to it and be consistent, which number five, which I think is the not only consistent about turning up and doing the stuff that you got to do, but being consistent around the idea of building a brand. And on the other hand, there's a lot of people out there that make it like it's jet science and it's overcomplicated. You've got to keep it simple, because you haven't got the budget and you haven't got the bandwidth, and you've got to keep it simple. But keep it consistent. That's what I would say, Rob.
And I would say that branding is an overused subject. I've always felt this way. I still feel this way. You'll hear top agents or luxury agents, and they'll talk about brand. Really, what most people are establishing these days is an informational brand, like an informational kind of subject brand. You know, occasionally realtors have like a glamorous lifestyle outside of being an agent. Like, they go to big parties and things like that. Some of their customers are rich and famous in very rare cases, but it does happen. And so they, by extension, become rich and famous to a degree. But most of the agents I know, when you brush that away, it is a lot more. That is the marketing. That is the sizzle, not the steak. The steak is showing up, you know, when you've taken on a listing, before the team that you hire to even stage it shows up, being ready, walking the property, being there an hour earlier than anybody else and making sure that you know the ins and outs of everything so that when the staging team comes, you've got a lot of input from them. You've looked in every nook and every cranny. Staying late after that team leaves. I've seen Christoph like asleep in a chair at a mansion that he was doing a little like a day in the life of kind of thing a long time ago. And it really impressed me because he was there long after everybody else was. It was probably an insanely long day, 14 or 15 hour day, to make sure that you had three videos done, all when the client wanted to leave the property available, all when all the production teams could get there, and all with you managing every detail. Now, what is that? Is that skill? I would argue that that's simply hard work and discipline. I would argue that consistency, just like John said, is one of the big things. Because you only get good at doing something by doing it many times. You practice, drill, and rehearse. You practice when there is no blood on the ground so that when there is, you still do the thing with a high degree of skill. I still take sales calls because I believe it's important to still talk to customers. That's really what it comes down to. It is important that you get in the trenches and actually bleed with the clients at least every once in a while so that you understand exactly what's going on. And I cannot tell you how strongly I feel about that particular sentiment. As a founder or a business owner, you don't have to do it often, I don't think. I don't think you have to do it four times a day like I do, but once or twice every single week, making sure that you're talking to one of your actual customers, yes, I think that's important. And that's a discipline. That's consistency. That's building a brand. That's an informational brand that leads to reviews. And when you brush everything away, somebody's attracted by the spark of some part of your offer. But 9 times out of 10 these days in the market that we live in, they are pulling the trigger because of your reviews, case studies, deeper knowledge that you've given about your products and services, the amount of money that your clients have made. They're looking at the actual mechanics of what you do and making decisions based on more than just a service-facing brand. That's what I've got. With no further ado, John, thank you for putting this together. As always, I've emailed you a link to the 184 thing the agents do. If you feel inclined, maybe put it in the show notes since I did mention it. If people want to find you, follow up with you, get a consultation from you, talk to you about the MailRite marketing system, how would they go about doing that?
I'll just go to the mail-write.com website, and in the top navigation, you can book a chat with me.
Okay. And you could do the same with me at inboundrem.com and the About or Services pages. You'll find links to my calendar. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to the show. John and I are so grateful that you give us a little bit of your time and this your mind space. We really appreciate it. Until next time, we're going to sign off.